The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And man, do we have a banger, I mean banger of a show today. We are going to go deep into Baja. I am going to talk about all the craziness that has happened around the Baja 500 since the race wrapped up. Yes, we will be kicking off talking about that and a lot of other motorsports news, commentary, and other things. And then we've got a couple of banger guests coming up here in hour number one. We've got a young up-and-coming Formula Car driver, an F2000. His name is Yuvan Sundaramurthy. He is going to be competing this weekend at Road America in Wisconsin, and he's the current points leader and the Road to Indy Series in the F2000 division. So we're going to have Yuvan on the show, and then hour number two, going to take up the entire hour. I'm really excited about this one. Absolute legend, one of the greatest of all time to ever ride a motorcycle, and arguably one of the greatest of all time to ever drive an off-road vehicle, period, Mr. Larry Rossler, Mr. Baja. Yes, he is going to be on the show as well. Really looking forward to that, coming off a big victory down there in Baja. I will say, little controversial victory, but yes, we're going to have Mr. Baja, Larry Rossler, on the show. So, yeah, we got all that and a whole hell of a lot more happening today. But, yes, a couple blockbuster guests, and we are going to dive into the thick of things, into talking about what happened in Baja. I know anytime there's a race and results don't come out for 3 or 4 days after, yeah, it leaves questions. And you know what? I don't know that we've got answers. I don't know that we're ever going to have answers, but I'm going to try and dissect the bananas that happened down there in Baja. We also had NHRA in action over there on the East Coast. I know Chris Leone, our media director here at the Down and Dirty Radio Show, he was there on site. So I'm going to jump into talking a little bit about NHRA. Who knows what else, man? It's a lot cranking, a lot happening in the world of motorsports. I know Extreme E, you know, happened a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I got a little bit more news on that. New team coming next year that is massive. So I'm sure we're going to jump into that as well. You got questions? Hit me up. It's at JimBeaver15 on social media. And we will continue to crank on, carry on right here on the show. And we'll be back right after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a fistful of bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hopefully you guys have been having, a great week, I guess, and good time. I know we got a lot of racing action going on. We are going to chime into a bunch of that. I know me personally, I got some fun stuff happening this next week. A lot to talk about on the show. And one of the biggest things, truthfully, that I got going on is next week I am going to be heading out to Pastrana Land. Yes, I will be at Pastrana Land for a few days having a ton of fun. And who knows what the hell I'm going to get into while I'm back there. It's liable to be entertaining at the least, and probably dangerous at the most. But yeah, it's I'm looking forward to that, man. You want to talk about one of the most iconic places in action sports over the last decade? Pastrana Land. I mean, we're talking a place where the quad flip went down on a BMX bike, triple flip went down on a dirt bike. Who knows what else Travis has done? The videos that have been filmed there. I mean, he's got skate park, motocross park, UTV tracks. Like, I'm so looking forward to getting back there and having a hell of a lot of fun at Pastrana Land. So, big question is, am I going to do a backflip? I'm not committing to it, but I'm not committing to it. Let's put it that way. We'll just .. We'll see what happens when I get back there. You never know. You never quite know what will happen. But, yeah, I will definitely be heading back to Pastrana Land. It's going to be a ton of fun. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And, you got anything you want me to try? You got any questions you want me to ask? You got any things you want photographed? Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media, and we will definitely let you guys know what I can find out. And then after that, I'm heading to Crandon, and I haven't been to a short course race since last Labor Day. And yes, Crandon, I can't wait to get back there. My home away from home, one of them, a place that's embraced me. I've embraced it. I absolutely love it. I love the people, and I am so looking forward to getting back there for, the brush run here in the spring. And, they've got that Community Cup race. It's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. Big storylines around that. Obviously, Keegan Kincaid, the local boy, 2-for-2 there at Antigo. Is he going to be able to keep that alive? Obviously, CJ Grease sweeping the Pro Fours. I mean, UTVs is crazy right now in the Midwest. Things are exploding. It is going to be a good time. I know the Anderson brothers, I think, are going to be back there for this one as well. I heard a little rumor. I think maybe Haley Deegan going to be sneaking back there. I've got that going on. Me, personally, I got a lot of stuff happening, right? And we're also prepping for Vegas Torino. I was just out at Pirates Cove. I know a lot of you that follow UTVs on the West Coast, you know where Pirates Cove is at. It's just outside of Needles on the river, and I just got to thank them for an amazing time. We boated, we UTV'd, had the Razors out for their offliner weekend. Basically where you cut off the grid and you go out in your Razor and you have a good time. And, it was absolutely a tremendous time. Water's blue, food's good, drinks are better, beautiful facility. If you got an RV, if you like to camp, you like to ride UTVs, you love to boat, literally, Pirates Cove is where it's at. You definitely need to make a reservation and go back there and go up there outside of Needles and have a great time. So, yeah, me personally, that's what's been going on in my world. But we've got a lot of news, and I'm already, like, I know you guys want me to talk about the Baja 500. I am going to talk about the Baja 500. It will be in the next segment because it's going to take a while. We're going to have to sort through a lot of shenanigans in regards to Baja, and I'm going to need the full segment to do it. So I feel like I'm not going to be able to do Baja justice if I talk about it right now. But yes, we will get to that. You know, one of the big storylines coming out of last week or two in motorsports, honestly, is McLaren. Obviously, McLaren, we know them. They've got their Formula One program. Obviously, there's the auto manufacturer as well. So, you know, they got their Formula One program. Obviously, one of the most decorated Formula One programs probably last, you know, few decades, right? You know, I had some struggles recently, but, you know, I think they're definitely on the upswing. But, you know, as they've grown, they've expanded their program. I know a couple years ago they went to the Indy 500. Didn't have the results they wanted there, but, you know, it was one of those where it opened their eyes, and now they've got a full-time IndyCar program. So they've expanded into IndyCar and doing a great, great job. I got to give them a lot of credit, you know, from missing the Indy 500 a couple years ago with Fernando Alonso to now actually being very, very competitive in the IndyCar series. They have come a long way. So as they continue to look at things and expanded growth, you know, McLaren, one of the most iconic names in motorsport globally, they have announced in 2022 that they are going to field an entry in the Extreme E Championship. Obviously, you guys know this is the electric vehicle championship for off-road. Kyle LaDuke, Sarah Price, good friends of the show. They both compete there along with some of the best global talent in off-road and rally. You know, we've got Sebastian Loeb competing there, Carlos Sainz. So, you know, some true, true global world-class talent. Big news for McLaren to get involved there. It's funny, a company as big as that, you know, never eyed stage rally as something that they wanted to do, but something about Extreme E must have caught their eye, caught their attention. Obviously, it's got the globe's attention right now. I mean, electrics, that's the hot topic, right? You know, Tesla's done amazing. You know, all the auto manufacturers are announcing new electric vehicles. Everything's kind of moving towards electric. You know, that's a story for another day on this show because the tech is amazing. I worry about, you know, the power grid and things like that, being able to support it. You know, we've got rolling blackouts in California in the summer as it is, and now we're going to go and plug millions of vehicles into the wall. Yeah, I've got questions, and nobody's been able to seem to answer it other than, oh, it'll work. Yeah, will it? But, you know, that being said, McLaren has committed to fielding a team in the 2022 Extreme E Championship. You know, so right now I think they're at 9. That'll give them a full 10 teams. I'm sure there's going to be at least, I would think, another team or two that pop in over the offseason. I don't see anybody folding. Yeah, it's got me excited to see that. You know, I just hope that, you know, my biggest thing with Extreme E is I hate the format of the races, man. I want to see everybody out there, at least four or five cars out there at a time. And I don't like that qualifying can, you know, basically if you have a bad qualifying run, you can't even make the main event. It's a weird format. Great cars, great racing, weird format. No Vision Wheels are also on all those Extreme E cars. But, yeah, that's kind of one of my big things there is like, the concept is there. Everything's there. The structure, the bones. Everybody Extreme E has done a phenomenal job. And I just feel like the format isn't quite there yet to showcase these cars, showcase the drivers, showcase the talent. And I think once they get that nailed, this thing is going to blow through the roof. But there's been times I've been watching on TV and it's just not quite there yet. And you know, I think obviously year one they've had phenomenal success through two races, and I think there's nothing more but good things to come from that series. But like I said, let's get that format massaged a little bit. But yeah, so Extreme E, you know, McLaren joining the Extreme E Championship, man, that is going to be absolutely huge. You know, as we talk about things that have been going on, got to talk about NHRA, got to talk about this round in New England. You know, I know we have beat a dead horse talking about them damn Capco boys, but our boys, Steve and Billy Torrance, and Billy only part-time, they're just dominating Top Fuel. I mean, it's a domination. Like I said, we are witnessing greatness. with Steve Torrence. His dad, Billy, is the same. Billy just taking the one there at New England Nats. I got to give a shout out to my boys at Capco. Just continuing to kill it, continuing to, you know, just to push the envelope of what people thought a team could be. We are watching a dominance that we have never seen before in motorsports by a team, and it's both cars. I mean, this is just crazy how good these guys are and how, I mean, you know, and it's like Billy at part-time to come in and, you know, he's taking a victory, it seems like, every year the past couple of years. Just an amazing, amazing team. You know, it's a great family-run organization, you know, an ecosystem, a healthy, healthy environment for drivers and crew members to thrive and succeed. It's just, man, you want a blueprint for success. You look at what the Torrences and them Capco boys are doing in Top Fuel in the NHRA. I've said it before. I'll say it again. You are witnessing greatness, and you hate to miss it because 20 years from now, you're going to look back and be like, man, Jimmy was right, if you listen to the show. But, you know, you're going to be like, man, those guys, we missed it. This is, you're watching Michael Jordan circa 90s here. You know, you're watching greatness. You know, take it all in. Know it. You know, it's they are that damn good. But a big shout out to our very close friends, you know, the Torrences on that big, big victory there at New England. But, yeah, we are going to take a short break. And I promise when we come out of this break, we will be swinging. We are going to be talking about the SCORE Baja 500, all that entails, and a whole lot more. Man, it's going to get interesting. It's going to get entertaining. Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media if you got questions, you know, in regards to Baja or anything else, and we will definitely, definitely get them answered in the show. But, yeah, we're going to take a short break. We will be back right after this, right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP Advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at GSPXTV.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And I got to give a big shout out to my good friends at Fistful of Bourbon for the fresh replenishment of those nice bottles full of that flavorful brown stuff that I love. Yes, it made for a great weekend at Pirates, having a little bit of Fistful of Bourbon in my fist. But yeah, if you haven't tried that stuff, it is great. It is unlike any whiskey you have ever tried before. I will just say that, and especially bourbon. So I'm a bourbon drinker, and Fistful of Bourbon is where it's at. Talking a little Fistful of Bourbon and last weekend. Speaking of last weekend, obviously we've got a big guest today. We've got Larry Rossler, one of the all-time greats, two-time Hall of Famer, AMA, and the Off-Road Motorsports Hall of Fame. So, you know, if that's not an accomplishment, I don't know what is. I don't know many people that are in two Hall of Fames, right, for both the disciplines they've competed in. Yeah, he is an absolute legend. Looking forward to having Larry on the show. But, you know, he is the winner, the official overall winner of the Baja 500. How did we get to that point? Well, it wasn't easy, and I'm sure Larry and I are going to talk about it. But so the race wrapped up, and originally I believe it was Luke McMillan beating Andy McMillan by a handful of seconds, and Larry Rossler was in the third spot. So that was your original podium as a cross finish line for Baja. So it was Luke McMillan, Andy McMillan, and Larry Rossler. Immediately, red flags go off, sirens start going, not really, but online and things like that. You know, there's, you know, thing about racing in Baja now too is there's photos, there's video evidence of everything. You got Stella, you got all this tracking, stuff like that. So immediately, you know, competition review board gets involved. And that's one thing SCORE does amazing. They do have the competition review board. It's made up of ex-racers. And when there's infractions, things like that, they sit there, they make a decision. And then once they make that decision, they take a score, and that decision is final. So it's not SCORE making the decision. It's actually a group of your peers, of racers, people who have been there, done that. They actually sit on the competition review board and make the decision in regards to, you know, what the penalty is going to be. So, you know, there's a respect level there. You know, it's your peers making the decision. So, you know, guys that have seen it, done it. And, you know, it makes it a little bit easier, I think, for them to make those calls, right? So, you know, this goes in, and nobody knew what the heck was going to happen. I mean, there's video of Andy McMillan hitting cars on the road, people making dangerous passes. You've got time penalties. You've got virtual checkpoint penalties. I mean, there is a lot going on. There was something like 80% of the entire field of the Baja 500 had penalties. Now, I'm just going to put this out there. Anytime 80% of your people do something wrong, it's not necessarily the people doing it wrong. I have to look at the sanctioning body and the processes in place and going, how are we tracking this? Because not 80% of competitors want to have a violation. So why do we have 80% of competitors with a violation? Like, to me, that throws up red flags. And I'm not saying SCORE's wrong. I'm just saying the process is wrong, because you shouldn't have 80% of competitors getting penalized. You know, it would be like if you're a school teacher, a college professor, and 80% of the kids in your class fail. That's because you did something wrong. You didn't teach them right. You know, and I kind of feel that way about, you know, SCORE and Baja. When you've got 80% of your competitors that are getting penalties, this isn't the competitor's fault. Yeah, there's a few, just like a school teacher. There's a few that are just dumb, you know, but this is a bigger picture thing. Like, all right, how do we, you know, how do we fix this, you know? And to me, that's where we're at, is that, you know, there's a bigger picture here. There's something else going on. And, you know, how do we alleviate that? How do we fix it? So you've got all this going on. Competition Review Board looks over everything. They decide that Luke McMillan is getting disqualified. Luke, you won. No, you didn't. You're out. Boom. Done. Sent you home. You are expelled. You're done. So then Andy McMillan becomes a winner, right? Nope. Pump the brakes. Sorry, Andy. We're penalizing you as well. I can't remember. It was like 30 minutes, something like that. I should have the facts in front of me. I don't. I'm a radio host. I just spit stuff out there. So Andy McMillan, pump the brakes. You quite didn't win. We are going to let Larry Rosso, who did have a speeding penalty of some sorts, but he's going to be the new winner. So you went from having Luke McMillan, Andy McMillan, and Larry Rosso as your top three to Larry Rosler winning, Andy McMillan second, and now Tavo Vadosola sneaks in and snags a podium. So the final results are Rosler, McMillan, Tavo Vadosola, 1-2-3, and it started out as Luke McMillan, Andy McMillan, Larry Rosler, 1-2-3. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot happening in Baja. There was a lot that went on there. And, yeah, I mean, how do we get through that? I don't know. So this even gets deeper, though. So today, I'm going to have to go. I don't even think it's on their website. But SCORE, there was a video of a chase truck passing on the highway, causing all kinds of chaos. Family got hurt, all kinds of stuff, right? So SCORE was looking and investigating that. So now they've made, and this is where things really go wrong, and I don't agree with it, that the driver of the chase truck was deemed that they weren't affiliated with a team. So that person is quote-unquote banned from SCORE events for the rest of the year. And they are going to make it right with the family affected and cover their mechanical and medical expenses. And I'm looking at this going, so what is somebody in Baja doing with a full chase truck, with a chase rack, with tires, you know, and a radio on his truck? There's pictures of it all over the internet. Like, what is he doing down there if he's not affiliated with a team? I mean, I go and spectate off-road races, but when I go and spectate it, I'm not carrying a bunch of 40-inch tires around and and things like that. So I'm looking at that going, what does SCORE know, or how good was this investigation when they're not taking action against that penalty? There's so much going on there. I am just going to say, I don't know what the hell's going on with racers. I haven't raced in Baja since 2006. I think it was 2006. I've raced in Baja since 2006. Been down there, but I haven't raced. Personal reasons why I don't race, and sponsor reasons are that my sponsors don't pay me to race down there. But that being said, like, I race a lot, right? This year we've raced, I don't know how many races so far, three races, you know, some years I'm 5, 6, 7, 8 races a year, right? This is going to be a big year for me with events. And you go to a Best of the Desert race, go to a Mint 400 UTV World Championship. Legacy, I was just did that Legacy race. We had transit sections, things like that. People aren't boneheads. People aren't idiots. Like, what about Baja makes people think they can go down there and just freaking lose their mind? Like, what? I don't get that. You race in the States, you toe the line, you do things right. You go to Baja, everybody becomes idiots. Like, why? Why do people think, and I get it, Baja's the Wild West, but they've toned it down. It used to not be speed limits on the highways, things like that. Like, they've brought it back. You know, that Baja has grown up. Technology's there. People have evolved. They're connected with the rest of the world now. Like, Baja is different than Baja of 20 years ago. And I guess that's my thing. Like, I'm looking at it going, why do these same teams, these same people race in the United States and we don't have problems? Those same teams go south of the border, they have problems. Like, what's going on? What causes that? Why is all this going on down there? Like, what possesses these teams and major teams to go down there and just lose their minds? Like, I don't know. I don't get it. It's, to me, that's one of the biggest mysteries of off-road right now is, why do these problems happen in Baja? These problems don't happen in the United States. Same people, different country, different results. Why? What causes that? And nobody's been able to answer that for me. I don't know. You know, and people go, it's better in Baja. I'm not going to lie. Tacos and beer are definitely better in Baja. The scenery is definitely better than Baja. I'll take that over, you know, the Mint 400 course any day, right? But, you know, so we got a lot of the same, but there's a lot of difference, and the differences are the ones that matter. Like, why does this happen? Like, we shouldn't be having these conversations on the show. So I don't know what's coming to this. I got a feeling this isn't the last we'll hear about it. I mean, the internet's on fire right now. I mean, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of comments to posts. So I don't think we've heard the last, we've seen the last of this. But I do think, there's a whole lot more to this. And, I think it's kind of fishy that we've got a quote unquote chase truck that wasn't part of a team. Nah, not buying it. Not buying it one bit. So giving you a rundown of the rest of the results other than my rant, because we got a minute left. We had Larry Rossler, Annie McMillan, Tava Vodosola, Dan McMillan, Rob Mack, your top five. Then you had a trophy truck spec, Jason McNeil, slotting into sixth overall. First class one finisher, Brock Dickerson, finishing in the seventh spot. Another trophy truck spec, Ryan Hancock, finishing in the eighth spot overall. That's overall. And he was second in trophy truck spec. We had Chris Miller with Cantina Racing in trophy truck, finishing in ninth overall. That was sixth in trophy truck. And then Justin Davis in trophy truck spec, 10th overall, third in class. And your winner in SCORE TT Legends, that would be Rolf Helland. And then we had Brian Wilson, Tim Herbst, William Hedrick Jr., and Raul Gomez, your top 15. UTV winner, got to give a shout-out to my boy Brandon Sims, doing it down for Polaris Razor. And Mike Cafro taking a win for Razor as well. And you know what? We got to take a short break. We'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my next guest, a guy that is absolutely on fire this year, Yuvan Sundaramurthy, to the show. I know, man, this is a big weekend for you. You've had a big year, but heading to Road America, would you consider this like kind of like your home track, right?
Yeah, this is definitely the home track and the home track of the team. So it's going to be one of the best tracks to get a win on. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's, you know, this one, I've never actually been there. I spent a lot of time in Wisconsin, but I've never been there. But this one is so, like, picturesque. Just seems like a beautiful area, like the backdrop of the track. I know it's, it's a pretty long track. I mean, everything about this one is just, like, I don't know. I think summer, and I think the United States, and I feel like Road America just fits the bill.
Definitely. I mean, I've never really had good results there, so I've kind of had a mixed opinion of the track. But hopefully we can get that changed this year.
Well, that's not good. It's the home track, and you're saying you haven't had good results at it. I'm like, generally the opposite, man.
Yeah, this year I've been better in every track I've gone to so far, so I'm hoping to keep the trend.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about this year. I want to talk about your career, and we got a lot to kind of bounce around about. But, I mean, this year, obviously, you know, they're considering your breakout year. I mean, I feel like you've been kind of building. But, you come out of the gate, you take a win there at Barber. And then you had a massive weekend there at Indy where you took 2 of the 3 victories. I mean, I feel like you're on a pretty darn good roll right now. I mean, leading the points championship. I mean, what's different about this year than years previous?
Yeah, so that's kind of a hard question to answer, because I definitely think there's a combination of things. especially this off season. I've been working a lot, and in a combination of testing and figuring out how to get my qualifyings in ship shape, and also working with a bunch of people to work on my fitness and mental preparedness and all that stuff. So I think it's a combination of a bunch of things finally coming together.
Yeah. Well, on the fitness side too, like, I mean, I've seen pictures of you on social media. It's not like you're a big guy. Like, you look like, you know, I look and I go, oh, this guy's pretty fit. But I mean, how big of a difference can, you know, taking your fitness to another level? I mean, does it make a big difference? I would assume as laps tick off in the race car, things like that, you know, it's really, you start getting into, you know, let's say the fourth quarter of the race. And, you know, I got a feeling the fitness is probably when it really starts coming into play, when everybody else is tiring it out, right?
Yeah, it definitely makes a massive difference. My my coach, Bob Perona, he put together this thing for me at the end of last year, what he calls closing. And he showed me all the races and which races I closed, which is the last five laps. If you gain positions or lose positions, and in almost every single race, I lost positions last year. This year, I've closed every single race. So the fitness definitely is coming to me and definitely showing up on improving and helping out.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny you talk about that, and I've never really heard about closing, you know, in regards to that before. But, like, I mean, racing, it's so much of a mental game. Obviously, you've got the skills to drive a race car, but, you know, I feel like, you know, the mental game, and it looks like you're really working on that. And obviously, the physical part comes along with it, with the training and stuff like that. But, I mean, have you felt like your mental game is stronger and that's helping you through some of these races?
I definitely think so. I've been able to stay more focused throughout the whole race, and really, especially even going into Barber, I was having a really lack of confidence issue. I didn't do as hot as I wanted to in the testing, in the series test, so I didn't have all the confidence that I needed. So I worked with a couple guys, Grant and Stuart, and they really helped me out just getting that confidence back.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about, you're talking about working with some people, and I know, you know, you're working with Peter Rossi there, Team Rossi Motorsports, Alex's dad. Alex, a great, great friend of the show. He's been on here numerous times. And, you know, how has that been for you? You know, I feel like you've surrounded yourself with some amazing people that are helping, you know, kind of steer the course of your career. How is now working and, you know, and having that asset, you know, at your disposal? I mean, how has that been for your career?
Oh, it's been amazing. I think, not just one person, every single person that I've been able to associate myself with has really helped me in my progress, especially working with Peter and putting all the investment company together, putting together a plan to help help me reach my goals of IndyCar and a pro racing career has really helped. And clearly from this year, it's starting to come together.
Yeah, and that's kind of the scary part about racing, right? I mean, I'm a professional race car driver myself, just in the off-road space, but it's finding the funding. I mean, you see time and time again, there's amazing young talents that have all the skills to be, you know, a future champion, and for whatever reason, the business side, they just can't get it sorted enough to go racing. And, you know, the days are gone by of some company just waving a, you know, $1 million check and saying, here, take my money, throw a sticker on the car. You know, it's you know, kind of amazing that you've been able to surround yourself with people who are looking at that. They're looking at long term, they're looking at things like that, going, all right, so how do we take Juven from where he's at to, you know, IndyCar, which I'm assuming you being in the road to Indy, you know, that's the ultimate goal here. But, you know, that's what's amazing to me is you and your family have the foresight to surround yourself with people and work towards that and put something in place so you're not one of those guys sitting on the sidelines going, I know I could win races, I just don't have the money to do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, I mean, there's a lot of examples of people who just weren't able to find the money, and especially in the road to Indy, and it's at the stage that I am now, there's not as many fans as you'd get in IndyCar and Indy Lights even. So it's a lot harder to actually pull business and company sponsorships. So that's why working with Peter, with the investment company, trying to get private investors really is a much, much more efficient solution for this stage of my career.
Yeah, and that's got to be tough, you know, like obviously everybody knows what IndyCar is and you know, in Indy Lights, you know, I think a lot of people recognize that, but, you know, is that a tough sell being that you're in F2000 and kind of
working your way up the ladder. I mean, that's got to be a tougher sell, because they look at you and they're like, yeah, you're a great guy, you're a great talent. You know, you're winning race in F2000, but we'd rather have somebody that's winning races in IndyCar. You know, we've got money, we'd rather spend it here. And that's got to be the tough sell, right? So yeah, I find this interesting that I think what they've developed with you is basically they're buying into you now, but it's almost like buying a stock when it first comes to market. You're hoping that thing doubles and triples in value. And with you, you make it to IndyCar, and that's kind of the goal, right? That's when they get the payoff?
Yeah, any professional series, it doesn't have to be IndyCar, but obviously IndyCar is the goal. And yeah, I mean, it's hard at this stage. And especially even in like NASCAR and stuff, there's a decent amount of viewership at the lower series. But now I'm really happy about all these foreign drivers. Kevin Magnussen just announced he's running this weekend in Road America. So I'm really hoping this brings a lot more fans to the IndyCar series, because I honestly think it's better racing than Formula One.
Yeah, no, and you know, I agree with you too, and that's not discrediting Formula One, because I still watch every single race, but you know, that's one thing I really admire about IndyCar, and I think probably you know they've got to be one of the most diverse race series on the planet. But somebody like you, that's, you know, I don't know, I'm just looking at it going, it's such a great culture and a great place to be. They've embraced drivers from all walks of life, all countries. It really is remarkable how IndyCar's been able to grow and grown it into, you know, I've got people that are pinging me from Europe, things like that, where it used to just be paying attention to Formula One. Now IndyCar's on the map, and it's truly, even though we don't race internationally much, it's become, you know, kind of an international series.
Yeah, for sure. And with 7 different winners in the first 7 races, that's really hard to beat. Yeah. So I think it's a great series, and I think it's expanding. Obviously, it's easy for me to say, but I think it would be cool if we get like a 3-race Europe run, but I don't know if that's going to happen anytime soon.
I'm still holding out for IndyCars at the Monaco Grand Prix, but I don't know that that would ever happen. But well, truthfully, it would probably be a better show than we saw this year. So it would be.
I don't know if the IndyCars have enough turn radius to get around the turf in there.
Yeah, exactly. But let's talk a little bit about you. I mean, you've got kind of a lot of worldly experience. I mean, you're the first Indian-born race car driver to win in the IndyCar series. Or, you know, in the road to Indy. But you grew up in China for what, the first 6-7 years of your life? How did that happen? And then how was the gateway to the United States and racing? I mean, take me through all that, because, like, this is interesting to me. It wasn't like you grew up in a racing family and your dad raced Formula cars and, you know, and you guys kind of knew, like, you guys started from scratch, right?
Yeah, so I was born here in Wisconsin, in a little town, Mauk, Wisconsin. I lived here until I was 3.5, and then we moved to China for 6 years. We lived in Beijing for 3 of those, and then the second half was in Shanghai, which is where the Formula One track is, and we lived about 20 minutes from the F1 track. The first 2 years we were in Shanghai, we literally knew nothing about it. We had no connection to racing, and one day my dad's like, oh, you can pick MotoGP, Rally, or F1. Which one do you want to go to? So I said F1, and we went to the race. I loved it. That was the 2011 race when Hamilton passed Vettel on the last lap. And I was like, I want to do this. So then we got into it. So every day after school, I'd drive to the F1 track, do laps in a go-kart. That's kind of where it started.
Yeah, and you know, that you look back and you had to have been pretty rough to start with, right? I mean, you know, or was it one of those, like, you hear people, whether they're skateboarders or ride motocross, like, they start out and they're so bad, but it's like you get that drive and it's like it's an addiction and you got to go and you got to get it better. And then, like, you know, after the first week, you can see the progression. After the first month, you know, was it one of those where it literally got its hooks in you and you're just like, I can't get enough of this?
That's definitely the case. I never raced in China, but I raced in the U.S. and when I came here, it took me a good year and a half, a year to finally figure out how to pick up some pace. And then got a couple pole position and a top 3 in national events. And from there on, I knew that it was definitely a achievable goal.
Yeah. So here's a question. I mean, obviously, we've got this year. You got Road America this weekend. I know, you know, one thing I find interesting about, you know, F2000 series, you guys did an oval, right, in Indy at Lucas Oil Raceway
correct?
That was our last event.
Yeah, how is that like shaking it up? I mean, because I feel like your roots are in road racing, right? I was throwing an oval at you. How does that work? You enjoy that or no?
I love the oval. I've always been a big supporter for the oval since my first time there. It's a different beast. It's a very physical challenge. It's a very difficult challenge at that. So to be able to finish high there is really important. And with 1.5 points, it's really big there. I think I should have been a little higher up. I messed up my qualifying. That's kind of a massive thing in the oval, when it's really hard to gain spots at that track. But I was able to come home with a P6. I think I had a chance at P4 a couple times in the race, but never ended up getting it. But I'm happy to come home after the oval with the points lead still.
Yeah. How is it being, you know, you're kind of approaching, I think we're right around the mid-season mark. How is it? I mean, you got the points lead now. You got, you know, two rounds here at Road America, and then you go to, a triple header, I think, at Mid-Ohio. You know, how is that? You're the guy with a target on your back now. How are you approaching the rest of the season?
Yeah, definitely got to just keep consistent. I mean, consistency wins championships. So I had a DNF at St. Pete, which really stunted the championship race. Because if that didn't happen, I think I would have been a significantly farther forward in this championship. But I'm happy to be where I am now, and just gotta stay consistent, finish races. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, I got a question for you before we go. You're from Wisconsin. I know here in 2 weeks, I'm a big off-road guy. Have you ever heard of Crandon International Off-Road Raceway and the big events they have there in Wisconsin at Crandon?
I have not. Maybe need to take a look at that.
We definitely do. Well, I am going to formally invite you out. I do some TV for them for the Labor Day event that Red Bull sponsors. But I will connect with you because I just had to ask. I'm like, you're a Wisconsin guy. I know you go to college in Wisconsin. I'm like, Crandon, Wisconsin, 50,000 people show up to the Off-Road World Championships every year for the short course race. And it is a ton of fun. But if you've never been there and you are from Wisconsin, we got to get you out, man. I will get you some VIP passes for that deal because it'd be fun to have you out there.
That sounds good to me.
So, but yeah, other than that, I guess before we sign off, man, I know you're a big basketball fan. I am from Arizona. I'm a Suns fan. I'm pretty ecstatic right now. You think your Bucks got a shot at this thing?
They disappointed me last night, but we'll see. They Giannis and Chris can always bring it back. So I'm hoping we can win at home and then just get one win in the last race away.
Yeah.
Or last game, I guess.
Last game. We're talking racing. We're talking. Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting. I think NBA playoffs this year has been probably more fun than they've been in a long time. I don't know why, but for some odd reason, I think everybody's paying attention to the NBA playoffs this year.
That's for sure.
So, all right. Well, Yuvan, it was great having you on the show, my friend. Good luck this weekend at your home track there at Road America, and we'll definitely talk to you soon.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Well, and that's all she wrote for hour number one right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. But the big news is we've got another hour to come, all killer, no filler. But even bigger than that is a guy that is called Mr. Baja, two-time Hall of Famer, one of the winningest off-road athletes. I say athletes because he's done it on two and four wheels of all time. Mr. Larry Rossler. This is a guy I grew up watching, and I'm really excited to have him on the show. For some odd reason, we've been doing the show for 10 years, and we haven't quite had Mr. Larry Rossler on yet. And I've known him for a long time. For some odd reason, we just never made it happen. But today is the day he comes on the show. We've got an entire hour booked for this one, and I've got to tell you, he is a class act. He is a great guy. He's an even better athlete. And I am super excited for this one. So if you got questions for an all-time legend, Larry Rossler, hit me up at JimBeaver15 on Twitter. Slide into those DMs on Instagram. I'll check them both. If you hit me up on Facebook, can't promise we're going to get those in the show. But Instagram DMs or Twitter, hit me up at JimBeaver15. We'll get them into the show for Mr. Larry Rossler. But, man, one of the legends. He's coming up in hour number two. Right here on the show. Today's day is why I love doing radio. But we're going to take a short break. And like I said, we come back. We got another full hour to come right here on this all-killer, no-filler edition of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Hour number two, big hour number two for us on the show this week. We've got Larry Rossler, Mr. Baja. He is coming up in the next segment, actually the next three segments. We've got them all blocked off for Larry. Looking forward to having him on the show finally. So if you got any questions, last second, at JimBeaver15 on social media, and we will get those cycled into the show today. I do want to bring up, you guys obviously know I am a skateboarder. I also ride BMX, and I don't know, I wake surf, wakeboard. I do everything. Like, I don't know. I just love action sports. Not good at any of them anymore, but I still like to participate in all of them. It's good exercise. But, you know, if you're like me, you're always looking for good films. And, you know, right now it's like slim pickings, you know, with movies and everything else. I went back and watched, Dogtown and the Z-Boys. But I believe it's Lords of Dogtown, kind of the Hollywood movie they made about, Dogtown and the Z-Boys. I got to tell you, I forgot how damn good that was. If you guys are looking for something that came out, 10, 15 years ago, but it's like ridiculously good, go and watch Lords of Dogtown. It is amazing. And it really shows you how influential these guys are. And I bring it up in a motorsports show because motorsports and action sports, to me, this is, we consider this an action motorsports show, but they kind of merged, right? You get a lot of talents that have crossed over, things like that. It's kind of this big merger. But, you know, I look at things, marketing, sponsorship, you know, stuff that was game-changing. And, man, those guys at the time, what they were able to do in the 70s, absolutely mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. And I look at that, and I know how there's this old guard. You know, there's an old boys club in motorsports and in action sports. And, you know, once in a while somebody comes in and they shake up the establishment. And people hate that. I love that because I look at things and I go, man, like this is a turning of a page. This is creation of a new era. So if you're looking for a good flick right now, I'm telling you, just go back, watch Lords of Dogtown, worth the download. It's probably free on some streaming service. Rent it, I think, on iTunes, might be like a couple bucks. It's worth it, man. Go and find it and enjoy it. And, yeah, and if you like action sports, man, this is like the literally the beginnings of skateboarding right there. So, yeah. Anyways, we are going to take a short commercial break. And without further ado, when we come back, it is going to be Mr. Baja, the Mr. Two-Time Hall of Famer, the legend coming off a big win at the Baja 500 this past weekend, Mr. Larry Rossler, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome a guest, and I honestly can't believe it's been this long. We've been on air 10 years, but Larry Rossler to the show. Larry, man, we got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, you had a big weekend. I want to talk about your career, but welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I'm super excited, of course, and excited to share some of the stories. And this last weekend, of course, is big for me.
Yeah, you know, well, let's talk about last weekend, and I don't want to say get it out of the way, but let's talk about that, because you leave Baja, and, well, you know, race wraps up, and you know, I know, you know, technology is it's a blessing and a curse sometimes. Used to be across the finish line, you know, in Baja, and, you know, you were either the winner or the loser, you know, and obviously there was a CRB and things like that, but now there's so much technology and you know, somebody looking over your shoulder all times, it's kind of always a gray area at the finish line. And man, did you ever think you'd jump from third to first after this deal?
No, I didn't. And honestly, yes, it's, you know, nowadays, of course, I'm a big fan of a lot of it. I mean, having the VCPs, which is the virtual checkpoints, you know, that really keeps everybody on the course better. They're able to zig and zag, and, you know, people can't cut corners. But like you said, with technology, you know, with all the phones and video cameras and the social media, you know, nowadays, if you do any little thing, it seems like someone's always there to catch you. So, I mean, we had a clean race, and I started 10th, and we actually physically finished third. So I knew Valdosola was behind me. He started in front of me. And I knew it was Andy and Luke in front of me. So I knew we had a solid third finish, and we were really, really stoked about that. You know, Baja Jerky is the title sponsor. They're new to the sport. Last year, you know, that was their first event as a race team. So I've been, you know, trying to point them in the right direction, and Eric Brandt's the owner, and he's super excited about the sport. He's been a longtime fan, but he's in a position now financially to, you know, run his own program. So, you know, finishing third is huge, and it was an honor. I mean, we were stoked. I mean, let's face it, you know, I mean, I've teamed up with Andy in the past, and then the last 4 years I've teamed up with Luke. We just won the 1,000 together in the last Baja 1,000. So, I mean, finishing third behind those two guys is nothing to be ashamed of. And, you know, I got Tabo right behind me. I got McCachran behind me. And, you know, so it was a solid finish. And unfortunately for them, you know, there was some in the heat of the battle, some race decisions that both Luke and Andy probably should have, you know, thought over a little bit closer. And they both admit to it. They both, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the CRB, the Competition Review Board, reviewed all of it, and it's not just one guy making a decision.
No.
You know, that's why they have that board, and they came up with the penalties. So, all said and done, you know, we get awarded the win. Of course, it's not how I want to win races, but you know, you have to play by the rules, and they went in my favor. So, I'm super stoked about that. Super happy to, you know, get that win for all of our volunteers and family and friends and of course Baja Jerky. You know, it's a big win for them.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's funny, you know, because this kind of came out and a lot of people upset. There was a lot of penalties applied, this and that. And you know, my first Baja that I personally raced was it was San Felipe, but the first time I raced the 500 was 2002. Obviously, I grew up watching my dad through the 80s and 90s race down there, and that was when my first Baja that I raced 500 was open highway. And, you know, we're running 120, 130 miles an hour, and I was running the Class 8 truck at that point, you know what I mean? But, you know, you're sliding around blind corners, passing people, threading the needle. I mean, it was ridiculous, you know, and you remember that. I mean, you raced down there, you know, a good chunk of your career like that. And I truthfully hated that. It was scary, you know?
Yeah.
I'm glad these it's in place.
It was truly scary, and once they started implementing the speed limits on the highways, I was like so thankful, because it was definitely the most stressful, the most dangerous part of the race. I mean, it's one thing just bouncing through the desert, you know, and you feel like it's in your control. And if you make a mistake or you crash, it's your fault. Whereas on the pavement, there's so many variables and it's open highway and no one wants to give an inch. And it was crazy. You know, I mean, there was definitely some close calls and passing on blind corners. And I try not to do that myself, but I witnessed many of that and either passing or getting passed, you know, it was truly crazy. So for sure. And it's evolved since then, even more, yeah. Even safer yet. So now we have the Stella, you know, now the speed zones are in order to where we, like this race, all the speed zones were 37 miles an hour. So in the past, you know, like the 1000, we had some 60s and then we had some 37. So I'm a big fan of, yes, let's just take a timeout. Let's take a break. For me, it's a time to, you know, talk on the radio, time to, you know, take a drink of water, maybe eat a little something and just chill out for a minute and get ready for the next moto, you know?
Yeah. I never really thought of it that way, but get ready for the next moto. But, you know, what I think is funny too, and you can attest to this, but, you know, Trophy Truck has come such a long way. And, you know, when you first kind of made the transition to Trophy Truck, things like that, I mean, you know, you were a part of some great programs, but even then, Larry, like, I mean, races were separated. You know, if you just finished, you knew you were almost guaranteed a top five. You know, if you had a really good day, you'd know you were almost going to get a podium, you know, and, you know, winner might finish the line, then maybe 30 minutes later, there'd be another truck and, you know, top three might be spread out by an hour or something like that. I mean, we're seeing these races now. I mean, it's got just, I mean, crazy. We're talking seconds separating, you know, podium finishers and things. I mean, to me, this is just, it's kind of madness what's going on in Trophy Truck with the competitiveness, you know?
Yes, and it's exciting. I mean, it for me, even before this race, you know, I was talking to Luke, and it was, you know, it's like, man, whoever wins this race, you know, my hat's going to go off to them and congratulate them, because the course was super technical, and we know there's a good 10 trucks out there that can run the pace, and, I mean, really good drivers, a lot of experience, and the equipment's gotten better. The equipment's got way more reliable. You know, Luke only lost Sanfelipe by 16 seconds. And if you look at the unofficial results for this race, you know, prior to the penalties, Luke could have beat his cousin by 4 seconds only. You know, so, yeah, it's I mean, really good competition and close, tough racing, you know. I mean, off-road racing, of course, dust is such a factor and track position, so you know, pit strategy, there's so much to it, but that's part of the game, you know? So yeah, it's super exciting for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I want to talk about kind of the history of your career, but that being said, I mean, you kind of talking there about off-road and kind of what you love about the sport. And I got to ask you, I mean, through the course of your career, you've accomplished so much in off-road. Was there any opportunities where, you know, where people call and want you to go do something else, but you just always have the draw to off-road? Did you ever have any of those opportunities pop up?
Yeah. You know, back in the motorcycle days, there was a little bit of talk about, you know, maybe going to do motocross rather than off-road. But I mean, honestly, my heart, my experience, everything was more towards off-road. And, cause I trained a lot with, you know, Ricky Johnson and I rode for Yamaha for 3 years. So there was some, you know, possibilities maybe, but honestly, you know, just growing up as a young guy, with my mini bike, going to the races with my dad and family. And I mean, it was really in my heart, you know, watching Malcolm Smith on any Sunday, you know, I was, you know, that's everything was that direction for me. That's what I wanted to do. So, you know, and then that's exactly what I did. I went on to ride, you know, 13 ISDEs. I got 10 gold medals in those, you know. I remember my first gold medal. Malcolm Smith sent me a letter and congratulated me. I wish I had that letter to this day. I'd have it framed, you know.
Oh, man, I totally get that. I'd have that thing framed as well. But, Larry, we got to take a short commercial break. We'll be back after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with a legend, Larry Rossler. Larry, before we went to break, you were talking a little bit about growing up and kind of your gateway to Baja.
Growing up in the Riverside, San Bernardino area, you know, you have Walker Evans and Malcolm Smith. And my dad was a good rider in the local desert racing. So, you know, I had some pretty big idols right around me and started to go to Mexico. You mentioned your first Baja. So my first Baja was in 1972, the Baja 500. So I rode with Mitch Mays on a 125cc. You know, this is like 48 years ago, and we won the 125cc class. Then 4 years later, I moved up to the big bikes, or, you know, 250s and open class, yeah, in the local district races. And Mitch and I again teamed up together. We were both riding for Husqvarna. So in 1976, him and I again won, but this time it was the Baja 1000 and we won overall. So, yeah. So for me, you know, I've been so blessed with my career and my racing so really for me, it was once it took hold, I really had no reason to leave it. You know, I just, on my days off, go ride on weekends that we're not racing or doing something, we go camp and go ride. And I mean, matter of fact, this Friday we're doing a night ride with a bunch of friends and UTVs. You know, I can't wait to get behind the wheel and go tooling around in the desert in a night ride. You know,
that's, and it's funny you say that too, because you know, that's something interesting that I've always found interesting about off-road, because I was the same way with my dad. Well, you know, he was in the shop prepping and he was going and racing the Class 8 truck all over the place. But when he wasn't, we were still out in the desert on our quads or dirt bikes or pre-running around Parker. Like, we were always out doing something off-road. And I'm still, that day when I'm not racing, I've got the RV out and we're camping with the Razors and going on rides. And, you know, off-road's kind of the unique, and motocross is the same way. But when you're not racing, you're still participating in it. Most motorsports aren't that way. You know, drag racers, when they're not drag racing, they're not racing, you know, or IndyCar drivers. You know, it's a weird dynamic and culture we have in off-road. You know,
I truly agree, and it's that's what makes it so special. You know, I mean, I have just as much fun. I mean, of course, winning races is exciting and fun, but you know, before the race, the weeks of pre-running or the weekends camping, you know, it's, of course I'm not going as fast, but you know, I've been in, I mean, I got thousands and thousands of miles in UTVs, and people go, well, isn't that boring after getting out of a trophy truck? And like, no, you know, it's all relative, and it's fun. It's exciting. And the places you can go and adventure, and, you know, so it's, yeah, there's a lot of good in off-roading, for sure.
Yeah, let's go back and talk a little bit about, you know, the start, you know, on motorcycles and stuff. You mentioned, you know, winning that first Baja in 72, the first 500, you know, and you know, but kind of what was the progression? When did you think, like, you know, you went down there, everybody wants to race, you know, but when did you see this as a logical career path, you know? And obviously you've raced with some iconic teams. I mean, you know, as a kid in the 80s, I remember you and Kawasaki, and I wish I still had the posters I'd had hanging on my wall. No idea where those are at now. But, you know, when did you see it as a career path? Like, oh, I might actually be able to make a living at this.
You know, it's funny, it made a curve. I was still in high school, and you know, okay, I'm going to be a dentist or maybe an electrician. My grandfather was an electrician, but I'm racing local desert races and not making really. I had some little sponsorship, and they're paying for entry fees, and you know, my dad, of course, is you know behind me 100%, and then I wasn't even out of high school, and I got some opportunities to go to Europe. I did some endurance races, some 24-hour team races, and made some pretty good money there. And then I started getting the, you know, the bigger sponsorships, like with Husqvarna, and in the 1980, 81, 82, I rode for Yamaha. Then I actually went back to Husqvarna and making a little bit of money, but, you know, at that age and that time, you know, it was very little overhead to get by, you know, and it probably wasn't until, you know, the Kawasaki days started in 87. And that's when, you know, I'd already won some Bajas and, you know, starting to establish a pretty good name there. And with Yamaha was okay money, but then the Kawasaki program came up and we really built that program. It got bigger and bigger and stronger. So it was just a real smooth transition. Then it never really dawned on me that it was going to, this wave I've been riding, it's like the longest wave of anybody, you know, it's just like, I just keep riding it, you know? So when I actually thought I could just keep going on it, I can't say exactly when, but it started to take off and I just been riding it ever since.
Yeah. Well, and how about the transition to four wheels? Cause you're one of the few guys that have, you know, been, you know, Ricky Johnson, another one who's had a phenomenal career on both, you know, but when did you see the transition to four wheels happening? I know there, I believe your first ever race was with Kurt LeDuc. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I did a race with Kurt, the Mint 400. So yeah, with the transition there, I knew I wanted to, I mean, I was just intrigued by the trucks and, you know, I love Baja and the off-road racing. I really envisioned that transition. Jack Johnson made the transition, Dan Smith, you know, and those are all guys I've teamed up with and raced with on against them and with them on as partners. But I started building a pre-runner and I went to Kurt LeDuc, and that was in 94. And that actually maybe a little bit before that, started building in 93. So 94, November of 94, the Baja 1000, I won it with Danny Hamill and Ty Davis. And that was my 10th overall victory on a motorcycle in 1000. And, you know, I told Kawasaki, you know, I think that's a nice round number. And I already was building my pre-runner, you know, I was already like wanting to sort of step down. You know, we got Danny and Ty that are more than capable of carrying the flag, you know? And so that's really when I said, okay, enough is enough, you know? And I was still contracted. I was still racing smaller events, still going to events, doing PR stuff, but to really step down from that top box. And then so sad, you know, the very next June is when Danny Hamill died, leaving then Sonata, starting the Baja 500. So it just really solidified my decision, you know, like I know it's dangerous. I know enough is enough. And I mean, of course I feel and think of Danny all the time, but you know, making that transition, I there was an opportunity with Walker. Well, I did that race with Kurt, you know, cause he built my pre-runner. We did that race. We did a local race too in Barstow, I believe. But, Walker Evans got wind of it, you know, that I built this pre-runner. So it was basically up between Jack Johnson and me to get the drive and for the season of 95. So they ended up giving it to Jack because he'd already been racing cars, but he didn't have a very good year. So when the 1000 came around in 95, they thought they'd give me a try at it. So I actually did the Laughlin race prior to that and finished, I think, like seventh or something. And then the 1,000, I was running really good. We had oil, we had engine problems. I actually led for a while. I passed Walker and he was changing a flat. And then I hear him on the radio. Says, "Hey, pull over. I'm coming." So I had no choice but to let the boss by, you know, but I made it to La Paz and, it was drinking a gallon of oil about every 100 miles. And, you know, I don't remember what we finished. I think we got sixth or something, but you know, we made it and that was, you know, just those two races. And then the very next year I got the opportunity to join the McPherson team. So I was with them for 4 years. So 96, 97, 98, 99, the first 3 years driving Little Mac, and we had great success there, you know, and then the last year they let me drive the trophy truck. And we won, same thing. They were having problems with trying to develop the all-wheel drive.
Yeah, the all-wheel drive at the time.
And, yep. And then I won Vegas to Reno in it overall. And then the Baja 1000, I got second overall in it. That was the year Raglan won. I was second. Ivan Stewart was third. So, you know, a respectable finish there. So then after that, I went to the Herps. And, you know, everybody pretty much knows the success that we had for many, many, many years. I was with them, you know, driving the truggy with Troy. You know, we won the 1,000 a couple times. We won the 500 a couple times. We, you know, won championships. We won other races. So it was a big, not only their name is iconic in the sport, but the truggy became so, the Land Shark became so famous in Mexico. I mean, even to this day,
oh,
you know,
yeah,
people ask about that car and ask about me and the Herp. So
yeah, it's
made a pretty big name for ourselves driving that vehicle.
Well, I'm just looking down the list of vehicles you've driven, and I got to say, like, you literally are the only guy on the planet. I mean, you've driven for Walker, you drove Big Mac, Little Mac, you know, you've driven the Shark. I'm looking, you know, PPI, we can't forget about that truck that you raced with Ivan.
Yep.
I don't want to cut you off, Larry, but we're almost up against a time break, and I know this conversation right here is going to last quite a while, and I really, really am looking forward to this next segment of the interview. So those of you tuning in, you're going to have to wait for that. We're going to take a short commercial break. Promise, we will be back with more with Larry Rossler. If you guys are enjoying this interview, I just made a decision, executive decision. I can do that, right? Because I guess I'm the host around here. We're going to drop this interview uncut in podcast form over on Podcast One. We will also air it, the video version, on Facebook and on YouTube, and it will just be this interview cut out, uncut, director's cut, no stops, no gaps, no nothing. So if you're enjoying this, you want to go back and hear it, and I'm sure we're going to run long, so some of it will have to be trimmed. You can get all that Facebook, YouTube, Podcast One, get it all right there, and we'll be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Larry Rossler here. And Larry, right before we went to the break, you started to jump into talking about some of the vehicles you've driven, and you were right on the tip of telling us about the Ivan Stewart PPI truck that you also raced and then I had to pump the brakes. So let's carry it from there, man.
After the Herps run of success, I did drive that 1 year with Roger Norman, but and we won the 1,000 together. But I actually went the Toyota program, Baja 2000 or the year 2000, I should say. You know, both Nevada and Best in the Desert and Score, they both had their big events to celebrate the year 2000. So they Mark Johnson used to be my team green manager for many years, and he moved on and was working for Cal Wells at PPI. And so when those events got presented to everybody, it was like Mark Johnson said, well, Ivan's not driving alone, and I know who we're going to hire. So it was I didn't really have to audition for it.
Yeah.
I think Mark was pretty set that I was the man, and we tested. I put over 1,000 miles in the Toyota at Barstow, and we went to the Nevada 2000. And after day five, I think it was a 6-day race or a 5-day race. I don't remember, but we had a good lead. We had about a 10-minute lead, and it vapor locked on me. It was the second to last day. It vapor locked on me up at Tonopah. We had a really good lead, and it was low on fuel. The schedule to do a splash, because you got hot temperature, low fuel, and elevation. So it was sort of a recipe for vapor locking, and they knew it, and they couldn't get to the pit because of road construction. So on the radio, they're telling me, you got plenty of fuel, you'll make it. Just keep going, so because they were chasing along. And unfortunately, it did vapor lock on me. So after a period of time, I was able to get vice grips. I pinched the return line, plus it cooled down. They had a class 7 truck or someone bring in a 5-gallon gas can to me, and I poured that in. And finally, like 45 minutes later, I got fuel pressure, and only had to go like 4 or 5 miles, 6 miles to the finish of that day. So after leading it, and then I think we ended up 16th that day. So the next day, I remember Ivan, we alternated days.
Yeah.
And the next day, the last day, Ivan was supposed to start. And Mark Johnson said, Larry needs more seat time. We're not going to win this thing. Just let's give him the seat time. And Mark pulled me to the side and said, okay, Larry, here's a perfect opportunity to show me what you got. So I said, okay, I got the green light. So I started 16th and I finished second physically and I won the day. So that pretty much, everybody sort of opened their eyes and said, I think Mark picked the right guy.
Well,
and then of course the Baja 2000, we had like a 45 minute lead. We split it up into quarters. Ivan drove the first quarter. I got in it. We're second physically. I get past the first place truck, and just cruising, just getting through. I get all the way down to San Ignacio, and we had like a 45 minute lead at that point. And it dropped a cylinder, and it dropped a seat, broke a valve spring or something, dropped a seat in the head, and it ended up being catastrophic a little bit later. After that, Ivan got in and took off, and it finally grenaded. So super disappointing, of course, but yeah, the fact that, like you said, I've been able to drive a lot of different vehicles. Not many people can say they drove the Ivan Stewart Toyota, the PPI Toyota, and driving the Truggy for all those years with the Herps family. It's really been awesome to I drove with Andy in 17 and the Tesco truck, and the last 4 years now with Luke and his truck. So it's been pretty exciting, and good race cars, good teams. I mean, a big secret to success, and it's no secret, is to surround yourself by really good people, and off-road racing is no different than that. So good people, good equipment, and then you're allowed, like someone like myself, to do what I do, and that's go racing and try to make good decisions on the race course and not make mistakes and bring her home.
Yeah. Well, and obviously you bring your A game to anything you do. I mean, that's just been the story of your career. But things like moving into that PPI seat with Ivan, I mean, that's, you know, arguably the most iconic race vehicle, race program in off-road history. You know, I mean, did you feel like moving into that, any additional pressure? I mean, you know, you'd been with the Herps, and that's about as iconic as it comes, you know, and it's like, you know, then you move into that. I mean, did you feel like, man, I have to produce here?
Yeah, no, I didn't. I felt really comfortable. You know, I'd been in that position a lot with Kawasaki and you know, my professional career of riding motorcycles. So I was up for the task, you know, and PPI was around for 17 years. And they, the word was, I mean, I had a, I didn't have the contract in my hand, but the plan was to, you know, Ivan was going to phase out and they're phasing me in. So for me, it was like, hey, I just hit, you know, I hit the,
hit the jackpot.
Hit the jackpot, you know. Yeah. I'm going to continue racing and continue this Toyota, you know, program. And unfortunately that same year is when PPI and Toyota had a falling out and that program ended. So it was just it was a bittersweet time at that point, you know?
Yeah, and I had heard rumors, too, that they would, you know, had kind of planned on building a more traditional two-seat style trophy truck, things like that. I heard, you know, I know your name was mentioned. I knew there was a new truck kind of that had been mentioned. There was a lot of rumors swirling around that time about the future of the program, and I think, obviously, at this point, we'll never know, right? But, you know, I think some of the rumors really had people excited about the next couple of years of that program.
Yeah, you know, I sure wish something could have materialized from all that. Of course, I would like to think that, you know, my name would have been thrown in the hat. So, yeah, you never know. But, yes, a lot of time has gone by now, so you'd be surprised to I don't see it really being a factory kind of Toyota backing program if in fact they did something. But, yeah, you never know.
Yeah. So, you know, that being said, I mean, you know, let's talk a little bit about tech because, you know, when you first went into four wheels and obviously, you know, you were, you know, racing the Herps Truggy there for a while and you raced that PPI truck. I mean, technology was crazy then, but I mean, how does that compare to what you're driving today? And I know now all the, you know, all these all-wheel drive trucks are coming in and obviously you drove some of the original all-wheel drive trucks with, you know, with Big Mac and things like that back in the day. But how far has the technology come, Larry? You as a driver have been around and you've been able to see the progression. Drive all these amazing vehicles. I mean, the truck you're driving today, is it that much faster than what you were driving, say, 20 years ago?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you ask that question because the truck I just won in is 13 years old. it's an ID design. It's an ID design, you know, two-wheel drive truck. And it's really not that much difference. I mean, if you look at, I mean, at the... I'm sure if you're an engineer or you got a tape measure out, you know, the steering geometry is probably better. Some of the ratio for the shock, you know, ratio, maybe build in some forward bite or, you know, better steering components, better, you know, I don't, just all the little things, you know, but
yeah.
Nothing huge, you know, even the all wheel drive, Big Mac back in its day, it was good, but the biggest problem there, it had no wheel travel. So I have not driven any of the Mason trucks, but according to Luke, and he proved it this last weekend,
yeah.
You know, he went really fast, and it's the first time he's raced it. He said it's like cheating, you know, and I believe him. They got big motors, they got wheel travel, and they've, you know, all the trucks are more reliable these days, and Masons have seemed to have, you know, sort of figured that all out. So my hat goes off to them. But again, the ID truck I'm driving, being as old as it is, and you know, it's not always the fastest. You know, you got to be consistent. You got to, you know, I mean, my truck handles good. It corners good. It does everything good. Maybe a little heavier than some of the trucks out there. I'm definitely not running as big a motor as a lot of the guys. So sort of like going on a motocross track or an off-road race, or if I'm on a motorcycle, you're, you know, a 250 against a 450, you know, or a 125 against a 250. I think, you know, I might have a little bit less motor, a little bit less vehicle, but you still got to, you know, we all got to hit the same bomb, same turns, and you still got to hit your marks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to ask, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about your, you know, your two-wheel career. I know you, you know, you said you spent a lot of time out in UTVs, out in the desert, things like that, having a good time. You ever on a dirt bike anymore, Larry?
You know, I do. I ride all the time. I got me a new Gas here recently. I ride as often as I can. I'm trying to, I was going to go this weekend, but with Father's Day, and we're going to do this night ride on UTVs on Friday. So come Tuesday or Wednesday next week, you won't be able to get a hold of me because I'll be up in the mountains on single tracks here, just east of San Diego is just west of me. I'm in El Centro, but Imperial. But there's McCain Valley has great single track, and it's a riding area that I go to often. It's helmet therapy for me, not only, you know, mentally, physically. I enjoy riding bikes, and it helps. I think it helps keep me sharp, and just, you know, it's like I love playing golf, but you know, I think I'd rather I haven't played golf in years now, but I'd rather just be able to jump on my motorcycle and go do 2 or 3 hour little training ride, practice ride, just a little getaway. So yeah, I love it.
What's the difference in preparing for the Baja 1000 to race in a trophy truck versus to race like you were doing at an elite level on two wheels? I mean, obviously there's just so much more with two wheels. I mean, you make one slight mistake and the day is done. You know, a trophy truck, you know, obviously you don't want to make any mistakes. You make a slight mistake, yeah, you're probably going to be okay. What's the biggest difference in going and training and pre-running and getting prepared for a Baja 1000 to go for an overall on either one?
Yeah. So, you know, I still treat it like I'm on a bike. So I miss Q by a few inches and I'm my worst critic, you know. I really, really try to be precise on everything, the rocks, the ditches, you know. Of course, yeah, you can get away with more on the truck, but the biggest thing on bikes is getting prepared for a race like that is, you know, it's way more physical. You know, I mean, the training that goes into it, the pre-running can actually wear you down a little bit. So you got to be careful about that. You go into the race half wore out, you know, because you put in so much pre-running. Yeah. But yeah, it's just way more physical. And of course, you know, the consequences for making a mistake are, you know, definitely a lot worse on a bike. So, but I still treat it that way. My discipline for, you know, reading the terrain, and I don't even use hardly the GPS even to this day. You know, I saw Robbie Gordon pre-running and we had dinner together, and he goes, yeah, we got over 400 and some notes already. How are you guys doing? You know, we're talking about that. And I go, I don't know. I got a 5 or 6 in my head, and we did a few on the GPS. You know, it's like I'm literally just driving it like I would be racing it on a bike. You know, most of it's just pure memory, and I still pre-run a lot. You know, if I'm not comfortable with the section, I'll do it again and break it up into sections. So for me to, you know, do this one mountain loop is like 25 miles, and I'll just go blast it, and then not blast it, just go pre-run it. You know, I don't pre-run fast, but if I don't feel like I really got it dialed and remember all the turns and all the rocks, and I go, I'm going to go do it again. So I'll do it back to back rather than trying to just do, say, one day you're going to do 300 miles. You know, just don't go do 300 miles. I'll break it down into sections. So I'll do that 25-mile loop 2 or 3 times, 4 times if I need to, you know. And then, okay, I got this. I got that 25 miles just dialed. So then come race day, it's just like playing back a video.
Larry, it's been an absolute pleasure. And, you know, if you guys want this uncut and the additional end of this interview, head over to Project Action or Facebook or YouTube. You can get that entire interview uncut on our channels. And trust me, it's worth it. And we're going to take a short break. We'll come back, wrap things up right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. you can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Well, we are back here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And I got to tell you, what an amazing show today. Big thanks to Yuvin for coming on in hour number one. But Larry Rossler, you want to talk about an amazing interview, an amazing guy. Don't forget Project Action, Facebook, YouTube, uncut right there. You get it. Director's cut, additional content, and uncut right there. Thanks to all of you guys for tuning in. Thanks to General Tire, Polaris Razor, Vision Wheel, GSPX TV Axles, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, Optimus, iRacing. All of our amazing partners here on the show, including Fistful of Bourbon. You know, couldn't do it without you guys. I'm at JimBeaver15 on social media. Don't forget, head over to Apple Podcasts, subscribe to this show, subscribe to Project Action as well. Man, we've got a lot of content continuing to drop all the time. And, you know, and like I said, that Larry Rossler interview, uncut, the way it's meant to be heard, yes, you can go and get that as well. We're going to drop that almost immediately. So if you're hearing this, it's probably already out there. Thanks to all our listeners on Sirius XM, Channel 217, Sports Byline, the U.S. American Forces Network. You know, it's great. We built this up over 10 years and couldn't be doing it without each and every one of you. So thank you. I'm off to Pastrana Land and to Crandon. You guys have a great week and even better weekend, and we'll see you next time right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.